This scripture where I'm going to, if you will, jump into today is birth and bathe in prayer. The gentleman who wrote this, gentleman Paul, is writing to this church, and he is just telling them nugget after nugget, just beautiful thing after beautiful thing. But it's so just, don't miss, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you from the beginning. God's been at work. Keep focused, keep working hard, but just know God is at work. And sometimes when we can get wrapped up in life, right? You and I can go through the motions before we know it. Oh, it's Sunday again. Now, things happen Monday through Saturday. And before you know it, we can just kind of go through it and not realize that God has something special for us. Maybe not be looking for it for whatever reason. Every one of us has challenges. Every one of us has things that we're working through, things that God wants to actually help us with, let go of, and surrender. We're reading about a church here that this writer, Paul, is just trying to help them understand how great, how magnificent God's investment is in them and in us. This is from Colossians chapter 1. If you're ever wondering how to remember, figure out where they are in the Bible, okay, some of these things that we talk about in Scripture. If you look at the New Testament, it's got four books in the beginning, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, traditionally called the Gospels, or old English word known as Good News. It's the accounts of Jesus. And then after that, we have a couple other books, Acts and Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And then we get this thing called this, I like to say, and this is from, hats off to my wife and her college group, GE Power and Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's a mnemonic device. Don't worry about how to do it, but just it's a way to kind of figure out where you're at in the Bible and stuff. But New Testament, there are letters written to, if you will, these churches to try to help them figure out this huge thing that Jesus has done, that God has done through Jesus, and now is trying to help them figure out what that means for them. So I will not delay, I promise, anymore. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, among all people, not just the Jewish people, but among all people, in other words, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is, and this is the big nugget, Christ in you, whew, the hope of glory. This Jesus apparently is living in us. He is the one we proclaim. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that, important words, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Fully mature. Not partially, not teenager, adolescent, fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me to help them become mature, to help them know this Jesus like none other. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. This is, if you will, this God is made known. He's made known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a calling every one of us experiences. This calling isn't always, if you will, impacting millions. I have a very close friend who has seen these. He's in his 60s now, and in his journey, he says that I used to thought I'd kind of be famous. I did. I played music. I loved music. I used to think that one day I'd get a break. And it was like in my 40s. I went, okay. Well, maybe I'll get a small famous stuff. You know, just kind of local town stuff kind of thing. And he said that by the time he was 50, he's like, maybe that's just not what the Lord wants for me. Maybe it's just about being present and loving those who God has around me. There's nothing wrong with being famous. Nothing wrong with if he had, you know, had that come happen for him to fruition. But the reality is this. He's come to understand, not to settle. I'll tell you flat out, he didn't settle. It's a, what is the Lord wanting to do? What is he wanting to do in me? What is he wanting to do in others? For me, my calling started, actually, I can tell you right where I was at. I was standing in a room, and I was near a corner of the room where the music was being played. I was trying to kind of pick what I wanted next, if you will. And I had a gentleman come up to me and says, hey, Dust, you ever thought about, you know, working in the local church? And I went, what? That, like, No, not at all. Like, what do you like? I'm in high school. And I'm like, I'm trying to just pick my music, and he saw something. He thought maybe, just maybe. Now, over the years, people had kind of helped me along in that, but flat out, it started with someone just saying, "Have you ever considered?" Some of us have been asked that question when we were maybe dropping our kids off, and they said, "Hey, will you be willing to help with our vacation Bible school group and kind of maybe man a group over there and kind of work it?" And I don't know if I feel called for that. I don't know if I want to do that, right? Sometimes we felt called, again, not because we felt all excited about it, but because someone that we knew and that we loved said, "Can you help me with this? I need some help with." And okay, sure, we go to help. And next thing you know, we start connecting, we start building relationships. It's amazing how God uses relationships. That calling, I have found, is rare outside of relationships. Calling is something that God does within a community of fellowship. And so this calling, which is, again, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he is the one we proclaim. It's not about a Presbyterian thing. This is not about an all-villages thing. This is about God doing his work in Jesus and his proclamation, teaching and admonishing everyone with all wisdom. Wisdom, that's something interesting, isn't it? It's that phrase it's that word that means it's not all that we know. Wisdom is not necessarily, if you will, knowledge. Wisdom is learning. Wisdom is walking in humility. Wisdom is being open. Wisdom is understanding what worked with this child is not going to work with this child. Wisdom is really paying attention, learning from others, understanding you don't have to make all the mistakes to learn from them. In fact, when we can learn from other people's mistakes, it's really wisdom at its best use, right? But wisdom, how can we help others come to know the Lord? When I was doing youth ministry and say it was working with middle school students, I could let them know, "Hey, we're going to have this game this night, and we're going to do, and as soon as I mention the game and what we're going to do, they're coming. It doesn't matter what else we do. They're coming. If they know they're going to have fun, they're going to be with some friends, they're coming. If I was working with high school or college and I said, this next month we're going to do a series on sex, guess what? I don't have to promote anything else that whole month. They're coming. They're inviting their friends. Everyone's coming out, and they're going to check it out. And they're like, "So what does God say about sex? Like, is it, like, what?" And so we talk about it, and we would go through it. You have to, what's the audience? Who are you talking with? Who are you ministering to? If someone's coming out of a real dark, broken place, am I going to talk to them about, you know, just trust the Lord, and it's all going to be fine? No. I'm going to meet them where they're at and let them know the Lord is big enough to meet them where they're at too. Constantly in Scripture, we have these examples time and time and time and time and time again where we have this amazing God who meets us right where we're at. Our brokenness, he's there. There's a text where this woman is caught in adultery. For that to happen, let's get real. There needs to be a second party. He was nowhere to be found. They brought her, not him. This woman is brought to him, and what should we do with her? They were trying to trip him up. They were trying to get him to paint himself in a corner, if you will. And he says, And then he doesn't say anything, and then he kneels down, and then he kind of writes some things in the ground. We don't know what it was, but all of a sudden, he says, "You know what? Those who have no sin, cast the first stone." And then slowly people started letting the rocks down and walking away. And this Jesus doesn't just, the story doesn't end there. Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, good luck, take care. Go and sin no more." This is not who God created you to be, in other words. This is not God's best for you. We sometimes think sin is this thing that God doesn't, it's the fun stuff God doesn't want us to be a part of. No way. Sin is when we don't trust God. Sin is when we think we know what's best and God doesn't know what's best. Sin is when we're convinced that what we're doing is, dare I say the word, justified. And God will forgive it. Interesting. How we can sometimes not use wisdom in our own life when it comes to the things of God. But this is why he's saying, he admonishing people and teaching people with all the wisdom, so that we may become mature in Christ. So we may become mature in the one who brought rescue. See, this calling is about the hope of glory in each one of us. That each person in here is an image bearer. Someone who carries around this amazing calling of God's work in this world. So if you're in the business sector, guess what? You're God's missionary. He's placed you there. He's called you to be there. And you need to be his light and his love. Not by your strength. To pull back to the text. Yes, you're working hard with all your energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. This isn't us working harder or trying harder. This is us just working out what he's already worked in. Let me say that again. It's about us working out what he's already worked in. And so where are you in this? Does that just sound so crazy? Like, where do I begin? That's okay. If you're going to a mall, you haven't been there before, the first thing you probably are going to find when you're looking for a store, if they don't have a big sign for it already, is the map. And you're going to find the You Are Here star. And then you're going to figure out, okay, I'm here. I need to get to there. Okay, so how am I going to get there? Reality is our friend. Reality doesn't always feel good. Don't get me wrong. You can step on the scale and you're like, I don't like this reality. We don't have to like it, but yet it is our friend. It helps us figure out where we're at on the map. And so this reality of You Are Here star, now it's about us now charting the course. If we don't know where we're at, we will never get to where we need to get to, especially on purpose. Research has found if people, again, are put in an area where they can't figure out their cardinal directions, north, south, east, west, or I guess for you, north, south, west, east. Okay. Anyways. But the reality is, if people are put in this place and they can't figure that out, they tend to go in circles. Just like in the movies. They go in circles. They don't know where to go. Oh, are we here again? Didn't we just come around there? How many of us have gone in circles in our lives? Not because we wanted to, but because we didn't know where we were or how to go to where we wanted to get to. The church together is about this community of faith that discern, that pray, that work, that speak truth into each other's lives in love, but help each other figure out. I thought about, what about, I'm thinking of. We all have friends and family, and maybe we've done it ourselves, where we wanted something so bad, we just did it and then told everyone about it. Not sure if it was right for us, but we wanted it that bad. What would have happened if we would have maybe said, I'm thinking about this, and we have seriously solid, good, trusting friends that could speak truth in our lives and say, you're going down a dead end. That is not the way to go. That's not them judging us. That's them being friends. That's them helping us, speaking truth into our lives. This is what we're talking about, this Christ working in us. Not that we have it all together, but we know who does have it all together. It's about this becoming. Who are we becoming? Who are we becoming? It's not just an individual thing. It's not just me and my faith, which it is, but it's so much more. It's when we all come together and we go, Lord, what are you doing in us? See, it's everyone and everywhere. It's not about having all, if you will, the answers. It's about helping people with their questions and pointing them to Jesus in a way that helps connect with them where they're at with all wisdom. So where are you in reaching out to others? Who in your world needs to hear the hope of Jesus that lives in us? This hope is not just this, it's just not just false belief. It's not just this thing that maybe one day, it's not this, oh, I've haven't studied and now I'm going to take my finals and I hope I pass. This is not the hope. This is a hope of certainty. This is a hope that we know it's coming. It's just a matter of when. And can we trust him in those hard times? We don't have the strength. We say, Lord, not my will, your will. Would you please help me to take that next step? Every one of us can take one more step. Where Jesus leads, Lord, help me take that one more step. I'm not sure about this. What about this in my finances? What about this with my job? What about this with my family? What about this with It's about taking that next step. Lord, I don't know the future, but help me to be open to everyone and everywhere. So what do you need to let go? What's in your world that you need to just turn over and say, Lord, I've been carrying this and I don't know what to do with it. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's brokenness, guilt. Lord, help me to not have to carry it. Help me to let you be big enough to take it from me. That I actually have hope in you, life in you, not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done. That's this hope in Christ. I'll never forget the first time I read these words. Oh, let me try that again. Which is Christ in you. It was like this huge epiphany. It was bigger than a light bulb. It was the epiphany of, wait a minute, this Jesus lives in me, but in all my brokenness, all my sin, all my bad choices, all my unwise choices, all the things that I could have done, that I should have done, and I didn't do, he still says he wants to walk with me and live with me and journey with me. He's not making out on this. And I realized, he's my dad. He's your papa. He loves me completely. Not because of what I have done, but because of who I am in him. Who, when you know who you are in him, you can handle anything. Anything. He gives you the strength to take that next step. He gives you that strength to pray that next prayer. He helps you believe that this is not the end. Christ in you. Where is Jesus needing to be more in you? If you don't feel led to let go of anything, that's okay. Maybe it's just about this one, about this question. Where is Jesus needing to be more in you? Is there a part in your life you have just not turned over to him? Are you just not sure what he wants? Are you afraid what he might ask? Let me give you some encouragement. He loves you and he's good. He's going to meet you right where you're at, no matter what you're facing. And the question for all of us again is, who are we becoming? Some of you came here because someone invited you and you said yes, and you're going, why am I still coming here? Like, what's the deal with this? What's going to happen here? Some of you have been coming here almost since the beginning, if not the beginning. And you've seen ebbs and flows of what the Lord has done in this family at All Villages. Ebbs and flows with the school. Ebbs and flows with our ministry partners. Ebbs and flows in your own relationship with the Lord. How can we continue to just seek out, Lord, what do you want to do in us and through us? There is something he's designed All Villages Presbyterian Church to be about, the corner of Heatherwood in California, 2019. He's got bigger plans than we do, but he meets us where we're at. And he says, let's do this together. Where has he placed you? Who are we becoming? Lots of big questions. But these are things that we're going to be really leaning into, especially this next year. This belief study is going to help us understand who we are, who he is, and how he's doing this mighty work in this world. And we're going to just lean into it. We're going to ask, Lord, where do you want us to go next? But he's got to do the work in us if we want him to consistently work through us. And so let's open our hearts, open our minds, and say, Lord, what do you want? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we consider why you have brought us here, as we consider why you have chosen to put the hope of glory of your Son Jesus in us, whew, may it just not be something we can let go of. May it not be something we can just turn the page. May you do the work that you need to do in us. Have mercy on us, change us, transform us from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for a group of people that we share life with here at All Villages. And we pray for those that don't know you, and we ask your hand to just be upon them and encourage them, and may they be loved into the fold. May they know that this is a great place to know you and be loved by others. But Lord, we We also want to lift up what you're doing in the life of our school. We pray for our teachers. We pray for the ministry to the families. We ask that you would continue to just transform them and help them to know of your love as we plant seeds in their lives. And we pray that we'd equip them well. And Lord, we also just want to lift up those who are hurting in our congregation. You know who they are. You know the losses that people have experienced. You know the brokenness. But especially right now, Lord, we lift up the Davis family. We ask that you would just help them love each other in this difficult time of Cindy's passing. May they know of your grace and your mercy in a tangible way. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, but especially at the Grove and Palm City. We lift them up, Lord, at Any River. And we pray, Lord, for all the gathering this next week, national gathering in Colorado. We pray for travel mercies, but we pray that you would do a great work in the life of the movement you began. And Lord, help us to lean in this belief study. Help us to lean in and discover more of who you are, how beautiful you are, how great you are. We pray, Lord, for our country. We pray for the division. We pray for our leaders. We pray for humility and wisdom. We ask, Lord, that you would make a way where there is no way, that your will would be done. We pray for those who are celebrating beautiful things this month, whether it be an anniversary or birthday. May they know of your love in a special way as well. But Lord, we of course remember that you taught your disciples a prayer, and you said, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.